What up?
What up, man?
It's Contestant Lips, episode 96. Thank you for joining us again.
96 in the house?
Yeah.
Number one, Billboard charts, 96. Any guesses? Because I have no idea. I'm just...
No Diggity by Backstreet.
What the hell would you even say that?
Am I right, Raul?
I don't know. I'm going blue if I was...
That was like 99, yeah.
I'm like, thinking like Thong Song. I'm feeling Thong Song.
That was like 99 too, dude.
I'm going to go California Love.
Ooh, that could be up there. I think it's no biggie at all.
Could be it.
The Macarena.
Oh, 94.
When was the Mamba? When was Mamba number 5?
That was like 2000.
2000, oh, yeah. Man. All right. Thank you anyway for joining us tonight. Yes, Contestant Lips. Obviously, we got a lot of people on the podcast tonight. John, what's good? John's about to leave for the Philippines.
We're locked in, baby.
John's ready to go. John is ready to
Let's
go.
Let's do it, John.
Leaving tomorrow. Good luck on your trip, man. Don't come back with a wedding ring. All right.
Yeah.
V is coming.
I'm leaving you tomorrow.
Gosh.
No? Yeah. That's not bad.
Yes. V, with his glasses looking sharp, man. How you doing?
Please don't speak to Doncic Thomas. Doncic Thomas.
That's a thing
I
now.
I predict the future. Galafuego.
Who's going to win the number one pick then? Doncic Thomas.
The Bulls!
God, please no.
Let's go!
What a homer.
Garnick.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Oh, chilling, dude.
You good?
A little bit, yeah. I'm excited for tomorrow. For real, I'm super excited, actually.
For the draft lottery or for Western Conference Finals?
The draft lottery.
For the Bulls?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not going to be them, but the hope is still there, you know. Until tomorrow, I can still think that Zion might be a Bull one day.
Which would be cool.
I think they might luck out this year.
No, I don't see it. Especially if it's in Chicago.
That's the reason why they would luck out.
No, it can't be that obvious. It can't be like Patrick Ewing all over again.
So obvious that it's not obvious.
Like backwards obvious? That's so derivative.
Where's Zion? He's Zion's from Carolina, right?
Yeah. South Carolina.
I think he's from Zion.
Nice.
And that's Raul, who just came from the White Sox game.
Hey.
How was your baseball
How was your Reinsdorf experience?
The food was good. Everything else was bad. There was nobody at the game. There might have been maybe like a handful of people at the game.
It's a Monday, dude.
So, it was okay.
How many innings did you watch?
I watched like 2 innings.
What?
Were there any runs?
Yeah, there were.
Yeah. But I don't know if I saw them.
I think it was 2-1 at the end of 2.
How did you?
We got there and the first inning was already being played, and then we found our seats, and then we went and got drinks, messed around in the concession stand lines and whatever, got a brat, got some fries, food was okay, and yeah.
What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
We'll give what?
The food. 10 being the best food you've ever had, 1 being my cooking.
Like a 6.
That's not bad for a ballpark.
That's pretty good. Yeah, especially on a chef scale. Remember, you can find Contested Layups on iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Facebook,
and YouTube by searching Contested Layups episodes or full episodes and more.
Thanks, man.
There's not really and more yet. Still, it's just episodes, old episodes.
What could be more? You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you check it out, you'll see.
Yeah.
All right, the NBA was crazy this past weekend. That's why we're bringing you a podcast now.
So freaking crazy.
And
so
the
crazy. Oh my God.
And what's coming up in the future.
Crazy.
2 Game 7s on Sunday. Obviously, if you watch sports, you probably heard of them or watch SportsCenter or whatever. But we're going to go over them anyway because they were awesome. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Can we not go over them?
Had a great
I don't think
game
it's
7.
Newsworthy, Eddie.
Sure it is. Had a great Game 7. Kawhi Leonard hitting one of the best shots probably ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they said that it's only the second buzzer beater to decide a series.
Besides Michael Jordan?
Besides, yeah, Craig Elo.
Yep, on Elo. Shot on the foul line. Over Elo, good. Bulls win.
Love Johnny Red on that call.
Oh, yeah. Just, oh!
Incoherent. <Yep. laughs> It's just in the background going nuts. Rah!
But the Raptors getting the win 92-90 over the 76ers. The game was... the Raptors were winning by a lot, and then the Philadelphia 76ers came back, basically. And it was back and forth throughout the entire third and fourth quarters. Kawhi Leonard took 39 shots.
Scored 41 points, though.
41 points, took 39 shots. That's Kobe Bryant, like, times 10.
No,
not really.
Don't go there.
But that's...
You just crossed the line there.
He was... The Raptors...
Kobe Bryant times 10?
The Raptors... Garnick was right about the Raptors in the sense that they were freaking out. All of them were freaking out.
Yeah, they all
outside
just,
Kawhi.
I'm not shooting this. Kawhi, here.
Dude, they deferred so much.
Yep.
Pascal Siakam was scared to shoot.
It's all right. It's all right. Now they have nothing to lose. Right. Now they exceeded expectations almost.
You know what's crazy about this game is that the Raptors took 24 more shots than the Sixers did. 24 more shots, and they only won by two.
It's pretty crazy.
They got it done.
That's
out of all those 24 shots, that extra shot.
Yep,
is the one that matters.
They shot 38% from the field. The Sixers shot 43%. But that's what rebounding does, man.
Quadruple doink.
Quadruple doink. Yeah, the Raptors had 16 offensive rebounds in this game. That was really the difference.
Doink.net.
So, what would you rather have? The double doink for the Sixers or for the Eagles?
Why would you even go there?
Yeah,
because all the doinks, man.
Oh, my God.
I would rather have this one because it doesn't involve my team on the losing end.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Plus, Philly actually loses this one. Thanks.
Okay, all right.
But doink.net and Doink the Clown are the only doinks that matter.
Doink the Clown. I will look that up.
You know who Doink the Clown is? The wrestler.
No.
Wow, man.
And Dink?
I thought that was like a porn site reference.
The first one is.
Well, yeah. That's why I assumed the second one was, too. Doink the Clown? Clearly porn.
So, but yeah, this Game 7 was awesome. We wanted to touch on it and just kind of recap it a little bit. And yeah, just... That was basically the recap.
Well, I'll talk about the shot, dude. That was a crazy-ass shot. Are you serious? That's it. We're done here.
This closed case.
The shot itself was awesome. I mean, just... How we got it up there, man.
Okay, now we're done. We're good. That's all I needed right there. Yeah. That was awesome.
It was one of the best shots ever, for sure.
Oh, my God. All right, anyway. So...
Retell him.
He trained under Kobe. Obi-Wan Kenobi Kobe. He learned everything that Kobe taught him. And Kobe always used to take the short corner fadeaway. Not from three, but the short corner fadeaway. We would move to his right. He'd fade in the corner, out of bounds. He'd loft it up, and it dropped. And Kobe gave him the keys and was like, this is my brand new Ferrari. Don't mess
keys,
it up.
The keys.
Yes. And then, just through the heart, I want all of you Joel Embiid lovers to know that he will never be as good as Kawhi ever in his life. He will fold to the power.
Yeah, he did.
We'll
see about that.
You know who...
He's an ugly crier,
also,
too, man.
Yeah, seriously. I was about to say that.
I'm picking Joel Embiid number one in all of my fantasy leagues next year. This guy's going to come back a monster.
Yeah,
cool. There's no way he's
for like
not...
55 games for sure.
Yeah, for like 55 games, and then going to lose in the playoffs
all
for
games.
Sure.
This playoffs has definitely taught him that all for whatever reason, all the reasons that he had for going about the way his basketball career has gone so far, he needs to change that. For how much this loss happened, it's going to affect him so much that he's going to come back bigger, stronger, more prepared, more skilled, and he's just going to kill it. And he's going to play all 82 games.
Let me put it like this.
Telling you.
Kawhi Leonard is like Wesley Snipes.
Okay. Which movie?
In Blade or White Man Can't
Jump?
Or
Demolition Man. Is like, what was his name from MIB?
Tommy Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Jones is a porn star.
You were never going to catch Wesley Snipes. This is done. I'm in the water. I'm out the water. I called my girlfriend. You can't touch us.
Yo, are you talking about the movie U.S. Marshal?
Yes.
First of all, nobody watched that movie.
I watched it, but I bought the double pack with Fugitive,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
It's in every Eastern European household. I promise you that.
I love that movie.
Yep. I like what you said, though, about Embiid. I think he's going to come back a beast next year. Let's talk about the 76ers, because their season's over.
Jimmy's coming back for sure.
Yeah, who do you think? They need Butler. Butler had that layup with 4 seconds left to tie the game, which was amazing, where he got Ibaka off balance somehow and then just went up strong and finished it. Good.
You know, I said this right when he got traded to Philly. Simmons and Embiid are like a ballsier, slightly better version of Wiggins and Towns. You know, and I think Embiid specifically sold him on staying. I think he's going to stay, finish the process. I don't know if Tobias stays. I don't know if JJ stays, but I know Jimmy's staying, and that's, if I had to choose between the three, it's pretty clear cut for me. Man. You have to keep Jimmy in this situation. It's not over. It ain't over, you know, for them. Because if Jimmy does leave, if Tobias leaves, I don't care if JJ stays, it's kind of over. You're going to be a second-tier team in the East. They need Jimmy. And I think he needs them, because I don't know how much of a market there is for him based on the last 2 years of his career.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'm curious.
Go ahead, Jen.
I was just surprised to see Embiid not do anything in the post.
Yeah, he only shot like 5 shots
in the post. I didn't see him too much.
Yeah, he wasn't in the post as much.
It was like at the 3, trying to pump fake, go drive, or just shoot the 3. Like, man, get your ass in the post, man.
That's kind of what Brown did, Brett Brown, the Sixers coach, to get them back in the game. He kind of got them involved. They got Simmons and Embiid kind of, and Tobias Harris in the mid-post, and then just post them up, but then they went away from that for some reason. Go ahead, V.
The same thing happened that I said would happen. They went on the road,
yeah,
and all of a sudden this dude disappeared. How can't you hoop on the road?
He led the team with 21 points.
No, man, but you needed at the most important time.
He was still plus 10.
He was right. I actually paid attention to that, how he'd react.
He's scared.
Yeah, he's right.
You know, both teams were playing like garbage. They came out very, very flat on both sides. Philly and
18 to 13 at the end of one.
Toronto was making a bunch of stupid turnovers. Philly had no pace to their game at all. And when that's happening, it's kind of hard to realize what you need to do. That you have to go back to your bread and butter like right away. You're kind of trying to like play in the flow of the game, and then there's not really any flow, so you're just not really in it. And then that's where the coaching is there for, so that they could get you back on track. And yeah, it'll be up to them too. Once Embiid started going a little bit inside again, then they started having a little bit more success with everything.
Wasn't that the second team you watched do that? Spurs lost. He's like, hey, I'm with you.
One thing that has to go that can't go understated too is Ben Simmons' lack of shot.
No, yeah, for sure.
And if this,
you can't
this,
say he got exposed though.
He didn't get. He played great defense the whole series.
Expose
really
him.
But he has to be a scoring option. For them to take a next step, you have to have at least some semblance of a jumper. You have to.
I don't disagree with you, but this wasn't a surprise. It's not like he had a jumper and it just disappeared overnight.
I know, and that's something if Ben Simmons dedicates himself, I think Simmons is more important than Embiid. Because Embiid is going to come back like a monster. I think it goes without saying. He's going to be a beast next year. But if Ben Simmons does nothing this summer again, where he doesn't come back with a jumper next year, he's going to regress. He's Andrew Wiggins.
I'm not going to say that one thing is more important than the other. In this particular dynamic, they're both very important, obviously. I think Embiid has a potential to be slightly better than Simmons. But you are completely right. He needs to dedicate himself in the summer and come back stronger. It's going to be, you know, this is going to be it for him. You know, if he does that, great. You can move on to the next level of your career. You can become a legit superstar, face of the NBA, perhaps, like a top 10 player. If you don't, you're not going to be Wiggins. He's already way better than Wiggins.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be like, everyone's going to think of you as someone who underperformed based on their talent level.
Right. Good roll. Last point.
I'm really not ready to push the panic button yet on Ben Simmons for the fact that he can't hit a jumper yet. This is their second year, and look how far they've gotten. They were a magical Kawhi shot away from possibly getting into the conference finals. And there's still so much that Embiid can work on and can get better at. And there's still plenty of time for Ben Simmons to get better at his jump shot. even if it's just a jumper or if it's a three-pointer.
But that's the thing, though. There has to be an improvement.
And there will be. There will be an improvement. And yeah. There was already improvement this year. He had a little turnaround, fadeaway jumper-ish kind of thing going on.
Not enough.
When he would get into the post. Not enough. And that's another thing that they're going to go back and look at and say that, hey, we need to improve on this. I'm not ready to push the panic button on Ben Simmons yet, and I don't think there should be that much emphasis on him trying to speed up the process of him getting to that jump shot. That's going to take time. He's going to put in the time. He's going to put in the work, and I think they still have plenty of time to do it. If they have Jimmy Butler, they'll still be really competitive, probably just as competitive as they were this year. But even if they lose Jimmy Butler, the fact that Ben Simmons is still such a raw talent, and Embiid essentially is a raw talent because this guy didn't even practice until like this year.
Practice?
He didn't even practice with the team until this year. He's still very new. He's still getting to the fact that, hey, like, I need to be a professional all the time. I need to be professional all the time, take the game as seriously as I can so that I don't want to be that guy again who got scored on.
Fair enough. Good.
They're telling Ben Simmons to be the kind of point guard on this team, and I didn't see a lot of that. I know that during certain possessions they will run through him and they'll go to Embiid, but you need to force your athleticism. Like, that's one thing Rondo was always on. I can't shoot, but I'm going to get to the cup. Tony Parker didn't have a jump shot. And Ben Simmons, you're much bigger. So you need to find ways to be effective if that jumper isn't going to go. But what I was going to ask is, we talked about what's going on with Philly. After all the success that Toronto's had and how much that was like the most passionate shot I've seen. And he showed so much just rage. I've never seen Kawhi just yelling.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be back?
For sure, 100%. I think that shot.
I'm not trying to go there yet, man.
I think that shot signified that he's coming back.
I don't want to. No.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm not going to go that far.
I listened today to SiriusXM. Steve Fisher was former San Diego State coach that coached Kawhi Leonard in 2010, and before he got drafted. And he said that Kawhi will make his decision based on the relationships and his comfortability wherever, whoever he's with. Where else would he go? Why would he go to the
Steve
Clippers?
Steve Fisher, man. No one cares. He doesn't. That's 10 years ago.
Steve Fisher knows.
That's fine.
Steve Fisher talks to him.
So what? He's not going to spill the beans right now. He doesn't know what he wants to do yet.
Good, John.
I think he stays. I'm only basing this because this is my my mind talking, but I think he likes the fact that he's the man in the country.
Probably, yeah.
The whole... Canada only has one NBA team. And pretty much all of Canada is behind Toronto.
Right.
And if they win a championship, dude, he's a king of a country.
No, of course. I think
he likes that.
Will Kawhi stay? I think it's too early to decide right now. You have to see how they play against the Bucks in the conference finals.
Yeah, what if they get swept?
Yeah, they get swept, or if it's embarrassing, if they get beaten 5, or if they get beaten convincingly in even 6 games. Basically, I think if they don't make the finals, they're going to blow this team up. I would definitely do that. If you can't make the finals after all this time, and how many of the right pieces had to fall together. This was bringing this team together. That's like an act of God almost. Like, oh, the right situation has to happen for Kawhi. The right situation has to happen for Kawhi Leonard. Pascal Siakam has to just magically blossom. Come to life and blossom. Like, everything. For everything to go right.
Don't forget and Drake.
And Drake.
Need Drake.
Yeah.
Drake wearing that 76ers
jersey. You had all that going for you, and after all this time, you still can't make the finals. That's going to be huge. And I think if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I want to make sure that, hey, I have a chance to actually win. This game winner was great and all, but you're still only going to the conference finals, and they've been there for forever.
All right, yeah. Let's wrap up this Raptors talk. Raptors Sixers. Well, actually, we'll preview the Eastern Conference Finals later. What do you say?
Sure.
All right, yeah, let's move to the second game 7. The Nuggets and the Blazers. That was less of a dramatic game, John.
I love that game.
But that was a fantastic. Well, coming down game. The last shot, it didn't come down the last shot.
I thought this was.
It kind of did, almost.
Kind of did.
Last 12 seconds, yep. The Blazers were up by one. CJ McCollum knocking a jumper down Torrey Craig's face. CJ McCollum, in my opinion, became an elite player throughout the series.
Ooh, wow.
Yes. He's an elite guard in this year.
How do you define elite?
We'll say top five as a shooting guard.
I don't know.
Shooting guard isn't that deep, though.
Doesn't matter. You could say he's top three. Zach LaVine, James Harden.
this freaking guy.
No, but McCollum, I think, is that based on just how he just tore up the Nuggets the past three games. He was excellent. And especially yesterday where Lillard could not hit a shot. McCollum had to take over, and he did. And he just won the series for Portland. Shout out to Enes Kanter, too. Guy's been fasting on Ramadan and can't have water during timeouts. Really proved that basketball is a mental game more than physical. It's pretty awesome. Anyone, go ahead.
Let's say it like this. Jokic is like Tommy Lee Jones.
Here we go.
CJ McCollum is like Wesley Snipes.
One thing about CJ that I found out throughout these series and throughout the season, really, is that he is the most in-conditioned, ready-to-go player in the NBA.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop moving. We used to give J.J. Redick a lot of credit for that, and J.J. Redick's in good shape, and he moves. But C.J. is a physical beast whenever he gets to his spots. Whatever his spot is, he gets to it, does a step back, especially inside 15 feet, and he works it, and he goes and bang you from range. But when he hit that shot, the best part about it is there was no emotion. It was cold-blooded. It was goodbye. I'm not even going to smile at you. I don't want to look at you again. I don't even know who Torrey... I'm not going to
look at you. You look at me.
This is expected.
Who is Torrey Craig?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yep.
And it was great because I really need that confidence from them going into the next series. I know Nurkic is gone. And the Golden State Warriors really have been the kryptonite or the anti-Blazers or whatever you want to call it throughout these years. And it comes down to them, but man, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, we talked about him a lot, but the most in shape, the most ready to go force on the floor is always CJ McCollum.
I'm going to give a little shout out here to a guy who's been criticized for a long time, not by us necessarily on the show because we just don't talk about him. Evan Turner had 14 points in this game, hit a bunch of big free throws down the stretch, showing up in a situation where he needed to be relied upon. Rodney Hood got hurt and did not finish the game out yesterday, and Evan Turner really stepped his game up by closing the game out and actually having some strong takes to the basket. For the first time in my life, I can say Evan Turner had a good game. Go ahead, B.
That I give to the credit to CJ McCollum as well. Playing against CJ every day in practice, when I saw Evan Turner score those baskets, I was like, damn, that looked just like this other guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that 2 minutes ago with us. And don't you hate Evan Turner, Garnick?
No.
Who? Somebody used to draft it in our league used to hate Evan Turner.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Fantasy-wise, that's me, for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like spent like a third-round pick on him like 5 years ago.
I think we all hate Evan Turner a little bit for fantasy purposes.
But it's nice to see. Agreed. It's nice to see, what was it, a number two pick?
Yep.
Number two pick.
Chicago kid.
He didn't pan out to be a star, but he panned out to be a serviceable NBA player. And sometimes, like, that's a win in itself.
Kind of like a Sean Livingston, but obviously, like, what, 3 years younger? No.
Much younger.
Yeah, way.
I don't know. Five. Sean Livingston was a high schooler, though.
True, he was Sean 18. Livingston's 34. It turns, like, 28.
Okay, 29. Never mind.
Wow. Evan Turner's that young?
Yeah, he is. He came out sophomore year at Ohio State.
True, he's been around for a minute.
What was it, 2010 or so? He was number two overall pick. Livingston was 04.
Regardless.
But still, all right.
I'm just saying, like, the longevity of a career of someone who didn't pan out as a pretty high lottery pick. That's what I'm comparing.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, in Philly, he was doing pretty well. He was on his way to stardom, and then he got traded.
I would not say he was on his way to stardom at all.
That's a healthy
statement.
You're thinking of Drew Holiday.
No.
Go ahead, Raul.
But to CJ McCollum, I definitely want to give credit to CJ McCollum, too. I agree with Eddie for the most part that he definitely took the next step.
To the next step.
To
American Fire
raising his game. And the thing that I liked about that last shot by him the most was the awareness that he had. The awareness to not try to look for a three. The awareness to try to dribble his way into a shot, knowing that it doesn't even matter who's in front of me. I'm going to get to my spot, and I'm going to pull it from a range that I've been pulling forever, all the time. This is a very good, comfortable spot for me.
Yep.
Rather than trying to take a three or whatever. And that's the kind of awareness that makes you elite.
And that's the growth that's come from CJ McCollum. Shout out to Damian Lillard.
Wow.
Nearly had a triple-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Had the massive steal in the last couple minutes where he stole an outlet pass from Jokic and wound up hitting a three on the on the reverse ball reversal. John, you got anything for the Blazers, or you want to talk about the Nugs?
I actually commend the Nuggets. They played a hell of a series. They played a hell of a season.
Yep.
I just think they got tired at the end. They went to uncharted territory.
Yep.
And didn't know what, and just gained valuable experience.
Yep. Jamal Murray shooting 4 of 18 didn't help. And that's going to come with the next step for them too. I think that's just a young team playing in a second consecutive game seven against a better team than the Spurs were. Sorry, V.
What?
That's. I was actually about to go right there as well.
What?
Game 7 against the Spurs told me a lot about this Nuggets team. I didn't think they would be able to pull it out against a better team like Portland, and they weren't. So I was proven to be correct. Aside from that, I wanted to mention the fact that a lot of scrubs are stepping up on this Portland team. Like going from Evan Turner to Enes Kanter, of course. Even
Zach Collins. Well, those are all scrubs. But don't call Rodney Hood no scrub.
Rodney Hood, what? Thank you. He was a scrub last year. He was basically out of the league. We were sitting at this table a year ago saying that, wow, he probably shouldn't be signed. You know?
Yep.
We were having that conversation. Rodney Hood.
He didn't want to play in the
playoffs. I wasn't having that conversation. All right. He wanted to play. Yeah, that was okay. LeBron.
That's cute.
That was LeBron pushing.
Episode 58. And lastly, I just want to say that I like the dynamic between Dame and CJ. Yeah. They know when to defer to each other.
Yeah.
It's not a power struggle. It's very impressive what they're capable of. And this isn't the same series that it was 2-3 years ago against the Warriors. They've matured a lot in my eyes. So I feel like eventually I'm going to give them a better chance than the rest of you.
Hold on. Before Raul goes, all of the bench players playing well despite not playing Terry during Stiles. The season. No, that's Damian Lillard. That's all Lillard's leadership. That's all Lillard imploring. Lillard imploring the rest of his teammates to have confidence that they need to go in and play.
Can you say Lillard imploring five times fast?
No, thanks. But you understand what I'm saying, though, V. Where when you are on a team and a player is a great player, and then you're supposed to fill a role. Either the great player is either going to be a great leader and help you feel confident when you're on the floor, or he's going to make you feel like an asshole when you fuck up. Lack of a better word. So,
There's so many better words than
Lillard and Steph Curry, which we'll get to later, are fantastic leaders. Go ahead, Ron.
That's pretty much what I was going to get to.
I'm just hitting everyone's points, man. Sorry.
Not one.
it's a testament to the leadership of Damian Lillard. I don't think that this is a completely different team, Portland team, from even last year, the past couple years.
Oh, for sure.
In the way that their chemistry is and the way that they've all come together, the way that Damian Lillard stepped up as a leader and got everybody to believe in, it's really a testament to how good he is as that leader. You know, Rodney Hood is on this Trailblazers team. Where was he last year? He was on Cleveland.
Yep. Not playing a single minute.
Didn't want to be part of it. Even Cleveland as a whole, just kind of their other guys had trouble stepping up. Also, I think that's also a testament to, you know, like that you could see the difference in leadership with like LeBron leading the team and Damian Lillard leading a team.
Yep,
granted, exactly. They're two different kind of cases, but
that's the case.
Yeah.
Good.
I can see Hood going to the Lakers.
No.
I can totally see it.
I need a Hood Lakers.
He's like a disciple of LeBron. LeBron bitched him out last year, and And got him into shape this year.
Now he's playing his best basketball.
That's my point. It's because of LeBron. All
right.
Thank you.
Quick thing about the Nuggets, though.
I agree.
Why wasn't Isaiah Thomas playing at least a little bit in the series? I don't understand it.
He ain't shit.
What do you
get
mean?
Him on the floor, man.
No. What? No, don't mess with that absolutely chemistry, not. Man. No. That had a good rotation. That had a great year. They didn't have the balls to close it out against a good team like Portland. But they had a good year. Next year, they'll be better. Michael Porter apparently is really good. They're going to be around for a while.
It's not why Isaiah didn't play. It's why the rest of the guards on the bench for Denver didn't do anything. Especially they missed like 16 straight threes. Everybody's jagging shots. Why?
Yeah, 2 of 19 from three.
Those guys were huge. Monk Beasley.
Monk?
Not Monk.
Malik Beasley.
Malik Beasley. Monk Beasley.
Monty Morris.
Monty Morris. Yes. Thank you. But these guys were huge.
Monk? Davis. Monk Beasley?
No, I was just fantasy basketball
Monk,
names.
Monk,
my mind.
Malik Monk.
Malik Monk.
That's what you're thinking of.
Malik Beasley. I'm sorry. So many Maliks. But these guys really were a big part of their regular season. And even throughout, especially at the end of the season, they were coming through with their shooting and scoring as well. And none of that happened. And in a long game seven, you need your guards to pick it up. You need the shoot. You need somebody off the bench to pick it up, and that was the difference in the game.
Yep, and the 2 of 19 from 3 that killed him, too. That's crazy. That C.J. McCollum is banging mid-range jumpers for game winners, and the Nuggets were 2 of 19.
Do you think fatigue played a factor?
Potentially.
In what?
No.
In what?
No, not
in
at all.
In the Nuggets losing.
I think it's more inexperience than anything. They were... towards the end of the game, they were getting quality looks. They were just missing shots. And
partially inexperienced, yeah. Jamal Murray with that missed layup, that block layup by CJ. That was a great block. Go ahead, V.
Them being tired, it was a huge factor. They had not only the two game sevens, but as you were watching, especially that 64-minute Jokic battle, Jokic. You're right.
Yeah, that's right.
It comes down to the legs at the end of that game. And if everything's a little flat and everything's a little short, that means you weren't in shape. And then the only person in shape out here is CJ McCollum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because towards the end of that game seven, I saw a lot of shots going short. Even like the little five-foot baby hook that Jokic...
Jokic makes it in sleep.
Like, yeah, he didn't make it. He shortened that one.
Yeah, he makes it in his sleep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's go to the other Western Conference series that ended on Friday. The Golden State Warriors.
All the cannons.
All the cannons. Beating the Houston Rockets, beating the pants off them. Not really, but that was...
Beating the pants off.
Beating the pants off the Houston Rockets, yep.
Descriptive.
Steph Curry, 0 points in the first half, 33 in the second. That's awesome.
So how much does he have total?
33.
Good job, Ed.
Not bad.
Math is cool.
Quick math.
Yep. So let's actually get to this point. And Raul kind of alluded to it earlier. God, I can't talk. The leadership style of Steph Curry compared to James Harden and Chris Paul. Go ahead, man.
Me?
Yeah, it's all you. I'm throwing you on the spot here.
I think I want to give it to John.
Okay, John.
Yeah, let's see what John has to say.
John has nothing to say.
John's the Golden State Warrior guy.
It's true, he is. He even has a KD jersey.
KD jersey. John, go ahead, talk about your favorite team.
There's not really much to say. I thought Houston was the inferior team anyways.
Keep it real, John.
I mean, like, if we look at each roster and compare them, they're still better even without KD. And they've won one without KD. And I guess James Harden got better in those whatever 5 years that they've been playing, but so did the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think they got a little bit freed. You know, I mean, they feel a little bit liberated because since KD's not there, they can move that ball. And it's like, oh, it's just like old times. I miss this. And... bam, they won.
Something that I think goes underrated every single episode. We never talk about Draymond Green. Even though I hate that guy from a fantasy perspective, he's awesome when he's in shape. Garnick looks so mad right now because he picked the Rockets.
I don't want to talk about the Warriors, man. Freaking, why? Because dynasties are boring to me. I don't want there to be a dynasty. I wasn't around for the Bulls years. I was still a fob in a foreign country. So that's one of the reasons. It just kills the NBA for me to an extent, you know? If you know the outcome, why even play the game?
Well,
that's where I'm coming from. The Rockets, they gave it a good shot. I'm very disappointed they didn't win Game 6, even though all the stars more or less aligned for them to take it to Game 7 again. Chris Paul laid an egg. They need to get rid of him. I don't know how you're going to do that with the amount of money you still owe him.
Oh, well. Daryl Morey was the guy who's going to find a way.
He is going to find a way. For sure he's going to find a way. I'm just saying it's not going to be good options on the table. You're basically choosing between like Blake Griffin and John Wall at this point.
Yep.
You know, there's... Would it be you can't sugarcoat it.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Blake Griffin got traded for Chris Paul? Could be.
You said you're not into dynasties, but you loved Miami. Would you call that a dynasty?
No, that was only two.
That was four this years, is, though.
They only won two ships, though.
They made four straight finals, man.
That's not a dynasty. Two ships is not a dynasty. I don't know which planet you're coming from.
Second thing, the Draymond Green thing, it really comes down to him, and they were talking about it in one of the games of him being in shape and losing weight.
Right, yeah.
And you can see it flying around. He's pushing the ball up the court. He's really initiating their offense when the other guys aren't bringing the ball up, and he's all over the place, and that's a good Draymond that we like to see. We don't give enough credit to Draymond, but this is kind of the time where he normally gets his credit. It's the playoffs. It's when the games get grimy. It's when you need stops. It's who's hustling. This is the time Draymond gets his credit.
Yep, can't be in the regular season when I have him on my fantasy team, of course. So go ahead, Raul.
Honestly, I think the Rockets didn't have the right personnel to beat Golden State. Going forward, I think they made the wrong decision in trying to hold on to Capella and give him a big contract and think that this is the guy that we need in order to beat a team like Golden State. They should try to get a big man who's actually an actual offensive threat rather than just a rim runner and a lob guy. I don't think that's the right recipe right now to beat Golden State if you're Houston.
Yeah.
You need more offensive firepower, obviously, because when Eric Gordon doesn't have it going, who are you relying on? Pretty much just James Harden, and Chris Paul hasn't really given you that much. And then what's Clint Capella's 9 points from lobbing
or putbacks
going to do for you? Nothing, really. You need somebody to take away the pressure, especially if you're going up going against a small Golden State team, essentially, because their big guys are old. They're either old or they're small. And if you're Houston and you know that Golden State's the hump that you want to get over, you need to attack that weakness, not just try to surround yourself with whatever you want to do. Get PJ Tucker to shoot more threes. Like that's not gonna beat them. You're not gonna beat them at that game.
Well, it's safe to say it's gonna be tough to trade Capella, I think, too. He's in, what, a 5-year, $80 million?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
that's not that tough. That's not a lot by today's standards at all. Thanks. Jimmy Butler is about to get 190, you know?
Chris Paul, 4-160.
True. Go ahead, V.
Just real quick, the defense, especially for the pick and roll from the Golden State Warriors, Draymond's defense on the pick and roll between the lob,
it's phenomenal.
It's incredible. Some of the best I've ever nailed seen. He nailed it almost every single time. And that's one thing that I don't think anybody else in the NBA can do.
Yep, and that has been the difference for a lot of years for Golden State being so successful as they are. I do think, though, it all comes back to Steph Curry. I think that kind of what we talked about with the Portland Trail Blazers situation, where their bench guys played fantastic in Game 7, and that comes down to Steph Curry. Same thing in Game 6, where these guys who don't play at all in the whole series are playing tremendous because they have confidence in spades, man. Kevon Looney has 14 points and 5 boards, hasn't played a minute in this series, basically, but came in and filled a role because Steph Curry, there's confidence when you're on the floor. There's not... If I mess up, then if you put Kevon Looney on Houston and he messes up, what's going to happen? Chris Paul's going to yell at him.
And I also think that there should be tons of credit given to Stephen Curry for having the confidence that he still has in himself to be able to do something like
that. That rubs off on all of the players on the team. Yeah. It rubs off on all of them.
Because before,
they're tied at 57 at halftime because Curry had no points.
Yeah. When Durant went down, I'm not going to lie, I was even on the podcast too, just not really sure if Steph Curry still had that in him. You know, not really sure if Steph Curry still had that in him because it's been so long since he was that guy for Golden State. But, you know, he obviously still does.
Yep.
And he proved it.
Yeah, you're damn right he does.
He had a lot. Honestly, he had a lot to prove. There was a lot of pressure on Steph Curry in this game.
From outside sources, not from him. He didn't feel any of it. Something that goes unsaid too is that Steph Curry's not just the greatest shooter of all time. I think this game and the run that they've been on put him in the top 10 conversation ever easily. I think he's a top 10. I think he's right at the bottom right now, but I think he's a top 10 player ever.
A little bit more time.
You
but
think?
Yeah, but I mean, he's the best shooter of all time. He's already got titles. Yeah, you're
arguably the second best point guard ever, if not already. Like, the way that he goes about his work and just the way he plays.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be really trashy for like the next for the rest of his career order for that to not happen.
Steph Curry. I don't know, to me it's a matter of how you treat like the Bill Russells of the world, like people we haven't even seen play really.
Oh right.
Before you can start talking about him in the top 10.
Yeah, that's fair enough, but I don't know. I think he has to be at least considered.
Oh yeah, I mean he's in the conversation. I don't think he's a lock as a top 10. I can see a way for him to get there. Absolutely.
Okay. If Golden State here's a hypothetical. If Golden State wins the title without Durant.
He's going to be back in like 3 games.
No, but hypothetically say. Just say that
Durant's and without DeMarcus.
And without DeMarcus, where does this rank for dynasty ever? And then where's this rank for? Where does it put Curry in the conversation? I mean, we're going to have to assume that Curry has an all-time great rest of the playoffs in order for Golden State to.
Well, he hasn't won an MVP yet. First of all,
yeah, it's true. So he'll get his first Finals MVP most likely.
What?
This is all too hypothetical, almost for me. A little bit. It's just, I agree.
That's a very loaded question.
Yeah, there's so many assumptions there.
Okay, we won't.
I don't think we should discuss that right now.
That's fine. That's fine. But. So Garner kind of alluded to it. Where does Houston go from here? I don't know if they're so struck by the salary cap's going to weigh them down for a while, man.
So much alluding.
I agree.
I said alluding. It's your thing today. We alluding.
I allude to you.
Allude. but where does Houston go from here, Garner? I mean, you're the guy.
It depends on what the Warriors do in the offseason, first of all. If Kevin Durant leaves, you may want to run this thing back one more year, make tweaks, not necessarily huge moves. If they do run it back, you need to make some major moves. You need to find a way to get Chris Paul out of there with his crazy-ass contract. You need to make sure you maximize James Harden's peak because it's not going to last long with the amount of miles you're putting on him. Even though his game isn't really reliant on athleticism per se. But nonetheless, you know, his prime is only that long. I wish I had a good answer for you, but I don't, because their moves are limited based on the cap, based on the contracts that they basically gave out last year. It's unfortunate, because I really do feel like this is the second best team in the league right now, but we're never going to find out if they're actually that.
This guy says the second best team in the league.
All right.
Let's go to predictions now. What do you say?
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's go Western Conference, East Conference first.
Wait, you don't want to talk about Milwaukee-Boston?
That series has been done, son.
Oh, no, yeah. We're going to go there next.
Or, I mean, okay, you're right.
Yeah, man.
Sorry. You're thinking of Milwaukee-Toronto.
Toronto.
Yep, so Eastern or Western Conference, what do you guys want to start with?
West. Let's keep it in the West.
All right, let's keep it in the West. Warriors and Blazers. The more important
conference.
Let's break it down. V, go ahead and talk Warriors-Blazers to start.
Man, this tears at me so bad because I love Portland. And we've been riding this train ever since Sir Charles Barkley III started the engine. But yes,
it's a put up or shut up time.
Is KD, how many games is KD playing? Is he back?
They say he can miss two games, and then he'll be reevaluated.
Is DeMarcus back?
He's supposed to make his return in the playoffs sometime.
All right.
Portland.
No, get out of here.
Portland in seven. We're going to ride the train till the wheels fall off. Listen, it's hard to make an argument for Portland, but if those guys are missing games, you just came off a series where I know you might be a little tired, but CJ McCollum's the best player in the league, and if you're playing...
Oh, my God.
best player in the league next to Kawhi, and if you're playing this team who's been amped, who just it's an emotional high, so it's a lot of adjustments they have to make coming into this game, but if you're ready to go, and we've seen the Warriors team not come out of the gates really hot, kind of come out sloppy, if you're playing Game 7 basketball and this other team is playing Game 1 basketball, there could be a chance to steal Game 1. And at that point,
right,
who knows what happens.
All right. But
it comes down to the cannons, and Steph Curry is so nasty. So I'm just going to ride the train. I'm going to ride the train at this point, but we're not... I'm going to stop off at Golden State Land on the way, maybe grab some souvenirs.
John, what do you got to say to this?
That's blasphemy. How dare you, V?
I'm sorry, John.
Just for that, not Portland.
Oh, yes! Yes! Inception.
Not at all. Golden State. The
Inception
four.
Song.
Golden State 4, just for that, V.
Dang, Golden State 4?
I'll take that.
Dang, man.
I got Golden State in 7.
Wow, you think it's going 7, man. Yeah.
It's going to go down to 7 because Kevin Durant is out. And if Kevin Durant and DeMarcus come back, or even if DeMarcus doesn't come back and it's just Kevin Durant, if he comes back sometime during this series, then I have Golden State in 7. But if they don't come back and it's just Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and these other guys, then I have Portland in 7.
How does that fence feel on your ass?
Yeah, what's that fence like?
The Draymond Green disrespect. Crazy. Go ahead, man.
No, I'm just saying, dude.
Other guys.
Straddle.
Andre Iguodala's these other guys, man.
Remember that Starbucks commercial?
That's what I'm saying.
No, Draymond is great. Draymond is great. Iguodala's been playing great. But Portland has been the most consistent team this whole playoffs. I've been saying that. They've been the most consistent team throughout this whole playoffs. They follow the game plan every time. They're very composed, and they're extremely battle-tested with playing very tough matchups. And, I mean, granted, OKC lost in 5, but the way that they took care of business there, and then that Denver series was extremely tough. Extremely tough.
I'll agree with you.
So,
but this is Golden State. This is a 4-time Western Conference final.
I understand that, but this is a completely different Portland team now. And Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum have made leaps in their abilities since last year and since before.
That's what Garnick said about Houston, but what happened there?
Houston lost, John.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing, man. They had to win one game. This is the start of a series.
All right.
Whatever you guys say.
If Golden State gets back their guys, I'm sure Golden State will take care of business. But, man, if they don't have it, I think it's more up in the air. It's going to be a very up in the air series, and this might be the one that everybody's been waiting for. That, is Golden State's time? Like, is it time? Is it not their time anymore? It might be that time.
We're all trying to get hot takes, maybe. All right, I feel you, Roland, man. Go ahead, Garnick.
No hot takes here. I got Portland in 7.
Let's go! Oh! Bang! Better!
Probably actually 6. You know what? I'll go Portland in 6.
Wow.
And the reason for that is CJ, Dame, they both have the eye of the tiger right now, for sure. 37-footer in Paul George's face.
Yep.
CJ McCollum yesterday. They know how to share the rock between the two of them. They know how to share the rock with the supporting cast. Curry had one good half. I think we kind of give him too much credit for that half, even though it's the most recent half he had. But he did have 0 points in the first half. And everyone forgot all about that. Trouble.
Against a team that was supposedly better than Portland.
Okay, they weren't. I don't care.
Who said that?
Who said that?
The Golden, you got Portland in seven?
I got Portland in six.
Who are these sources?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Portland's better, or Denver's better than Portland?
I said Houston. Houston's supposed better than Portland.
All these teams are inferior to Portland.
Houston is better than Portland.
Whoa.
But Portland's got this, for sure.
I don't know if I trust Garnick now.
John, the disrespect is incredible. I know. It's Golden State in five.
Yeah, they got in the past.
I've been.
I just don't want them to win, man. I don't want them to win another championship by like coasting through like 3/4 of the season on reputation and just flipping the switch halfway through the playoffs. You know, I don't want that. That's so annoying and boring. Yeah, and
Blackhawks did it for a long time in hockey,
and then it backfired
eventually. But now it's not
spectacularly.
It's not going to be the time for Golden State, man.
How do you know that?
Golden State in five.
First of all, they have injuries. Second of all, Curry literally had one good half. You're not going to be able to hide him on defense.
He had a 33
Curry is
half.
Injured,
I don't know.
Too. Yeah. Like, it's obvious. He's not the same. He's jagging layups left and right. He can't move.
Dunk. He can't dunk.
He can't move as well right now. That's why he keeps getting into foul trouble. Like, I get it. I'm not trying to disrespect Golden State. Everybody knows Golden State's the...
Golden standard.
Yeah, the standard. Everybody knows that Golden State is clearly the best, and they've been the best. But I think right now Portland is just honestly playing better basketball than what I've seen from
better
Golden State.
Better basketball.
From what I've seen, Golden State, how they've been playing in these past two series, comparing Portland to how they've been playing, Portland's been a lot sharper. And I think they're more ready.
You need to play sharper.
Yeah.
Words from Manu Ginobili.
Remember. You're going against a champion here. You're not going against. Going against Golden State. You're not going against Denver.
Who made
the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, and you're not going against Oklahoma City, who shits themselves all the time.
So then maybe you should give more respect to Portland then.
Guys. That's who Portland played.
I know, but you're saying, oh, the disrespect is so real against Golden State. You're blatantly disrespecting how good Portland's been.
I am. I totally am.
Okay.
And that's why I got Golden State in five. All right,
exactly.
It doesn't matter. Eddie wants Golden State to win, so we won.
Eddie's been saying stupid statements all week.
Don't worry.
Like, week? Just all, 1 week?
Like, forever.
Have I, though? Have I?
Yeah, Zach LaVine, number one fucking freaking shooting guard.
Oh, for sure,
dude. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
freaking. Kyrie Irving isn't going to get the max contract.
Yeah.
Truth. All right, Eastern Conference Final, Milwaukee and Toronto.
Oof.
Let's start with Garnick. Come on. Give it to me, Garnick.
I'll give it to you.
Let's go.
Milwaukee. Oh. Gotta go Milwaukee on this. Oh. Gotta go Milwaukee. I love Kawhi. That was crazy what he did last round. But Milwaukee, they have been the Eastern version of Portland to an extent. Super crisp. Tactically, they made a lot of adjustments to the Boston first game fiasco. Obviously, the first round playoffs wasn't really playoffs, so I'm not even going to talk about that. But they completely dismantled the Celtics team that was a legit contender in some eyes. Absolutely, they were garbage. But before the series started, I had the Celtics. I'm not going to lie. It is what it is. They impressed the shit out of me. Giannis.
There you go.
Giannis is spectacular. Great supporting cast. They don't have Kyle Lowry on this team, you know? They don't have, like... They're not trembling right now.
No, they're not.
They don't have Kyle Lowry.
Don't have Kyle Lowry. It's a huge advantage.
That's the only point I'll ever agree with you on this podcast.
You know what's interesting is that Kawhi and George Hill were traded for each other in 2011.
Yep.
And now they go against each other for the trip to the finals, V.
That's amazing,
gotcha.
Eddie. Thank you.
Yes, I got you. V. Raptors in two.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be a lot.
Stock the phone, bring them.
You know, there's only so many bodies Kawhi Leonard can hide before there's just no more room left in his backyard. Okay? He's silent. He's deadly. He shouted for the first time last game. I don't know how you guys think.
Did you just describe a fart?
Silent, he's deadly.
I don't know how.
Silent, deadly.
Giannis is a great player. He can do a lot of things. Still can't shoot. He shot a few threes in the last series and he was getting them off. Kawhi Leonard is a complete player. Serge Ibaka, I know he's not going to stop Giannis, but he's definitely a deterrent, and so is Kawhi on the help side, and Pascal Siakam also has length. Chris Middleton is the only problem I see in this series. Chris Middleton is a problem whenever whenever one goes in, it automatically starts the engine to keep going, kind of like the same way Klay Thompson is, except Chris Middleton, they really work the offense with Chris Middleton in when he's in. Raptors. Drake told me Raptors in five. Going with what Drake said.
For the six, wow. Baby. For the six.
Go ahead, John.
I'm going to go Toronto in seven.
Winning in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
In the game seven, huh? Why?
I think they match up really well, actually.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They have the same type of personnel. And we'll just see who better executes their game plan. I just think Kawhi is a special player, and there's no answer for him.
The best.
Raul?
I'm
saving my picks for last.
I got you. Bucks in seven, Raul. Could jump on the bandwagon, baby.
No. I'm going to go Toronto, probably for a stupid reason. Just because...
Fred VanVleet.
Yo, if... It's got to happen for Toronto. Like, it has to be Toronto. Right. It's supposed to be Toronto.
The basketball gods. You know?
Yeah, like... Because, again, if it doesn't happen for them now, it's over. It's over for them. And that's pretty much why, like, it has to happen for them now. So I'm going to go Toronto. I think what I would do is put Siakam on Giannis.
Start him
and
off.
Then have Kawhi on Chris Middleton.
Ooh.
And see where that gets you. But ultimately, it's going to... I think this game is going to be more about the supporting cast and also the execution. That's basically...
So how can you choose Toronto if it's more about the supporting cast?
Milwaukee's bench destroyed Boston last
year. It's going to come down to the supporting cast of them being able to step up and defend against Milwaukee. Like they're going to have to do more than what they've been doing. That's what I'm saying. Because I really believe that nobody's going to stop Kawhi from getting 40 points a game. Nobody's going to stop Kawhi
That's
from getting
fine,
40
but you need someone
game.
Else to step up. Kawhi can average 40 points
a
game. He's been
there.
Averaging 40 points a game.
Yep.
Siakam's been stepping up. One last game, that's it, dude.
The most important game.
Siakam has been consistently putting up 20 plus in every game.
Game 7's in Milwaukee. Game 7 is 90 miles.
Kyle Lowry.
Let's go.
Kyle Lowry, as much as he's been pretty bad for most of the playoffs, the last couple games, he's stepped up his game in the Philly series. Maybe they turned it around.
Oof. I am interested to see George Hill and Eric Bledsoe take that ass from Milwaukee on Kyle Lowry.
Yup, that's all day.
Bledsoe and George Hill are going to destroy.
Oh, no, not those guys are scrub, but Kyle Lowry, yeah.
I don't like Kyle Lowry. This is not about Kyle Lowry.
Yes, it is.
No, you just said Pascal Siakam has three good games, and they win those three games, and this thing goes to game seven again.
In Milwaukee.
I don't care where it is. There's no one in the NBA that I want in a game seven more than Kawhi. Affect the game offensively and defensively. And I know Giannis is length and he's a beast and all that, but you can't do what Kawhi can do. He trained under Kobe.
So did Giannis.
Yeah, but not like Kawhi, clearly, because
Giannis is going to be the MVP. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but with MVP without a shot? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about an MVP. Kobe was supposed to have six MVPs. He only had two.
Go ahead, John. Silence this guy.
No, I'm...
John already...
John agreed with me.
I
agree with you. But I also think that Toronto's supporting cast needs to step up because that game seven, you gotta want it. They gave it to Kawhi all the time.
Dude scored like 50% of their points. It's crazy.
Y'all,
yeah,
that's what it takes.
But the thing is that I read somewhere that Milwaukee gave up the most open 3-point shots in the league this whole season. Mm-hmm. So they have a shot. If they take all their open shots and not have an over-reliance on Kawhi, I think Toronto can win.
And that's kind of the thing, too, is that Toronto is one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the NBA this year. I think they were number 2 this season to Houston. John makes a good point there. That could be a deterrent, but I'm still picking the Bucks, of course. Bucks
Game 7. Bucks, it's as simple as that.
I think it's Bucks in 6. I think the Bucks go to Toronto and Drake's dreams and Kawhi's dream season. And that's about it. That'd be.
One other thing. You guys are talking about this Bucks team like they got playoff experience. You know who has playoff experience? Kawhi. And then the rest of the Raptors.
Danny Green, Kyle Lowry.
Serge Ibaka.
everybody on the Raptors except for Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
The Bucks have no playoff. First round playoff
experience?
And you used
that same excuse last series, and look what happened.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
Everyone said the same thing on the show.
Boston was a fire to start. And we put faith in them, and that's our fault. For putting faith in Boston. But I know who Kawhi Leonard is. I just saw that dude bring out the sniper and hit that thing from 2 miles away.
Wesley Sniper?
Almost, but he was more like Mark Wahlberg in Shooter.
Oh, God. All
right, we'll see. If it does come down to coaching, I trust Mike Budenholzer way more than I think Nick Nurse.
What?
Yep.
He's a nurse. Yep,
for sure.
Way more. Go ahead, John.
I think UNB should bet.
Yeah, Eddie, we never bet
you
Eddie.
You should make a bet. If you're that confident, Eddie.
You want to bet hosting duties?
Well, I don't want hosting duties. I can take those.
Bet money like a man.
If you really believe in your squad. Always talking crap about everybody else's squad. Doesn't want to put money
you
up,
don't
dude.
Bet, man.
I bet on OKC all day. I don't even care.
I bet a dollar.
No, I bet you host duties. You can host the next episode. If they're up in the series, you host the next episode.
And $10.
All right, bet. I'll host the show if they win, and 100.
No. If the Bucks win the series, I get to host forever.
I also get to watch you shave your head one day.
Why do you want to watch?
I want to know what the hell you do.
I actually tried a new technique tonight. It was pretty cool.
Just as a little caveat, though, even if you're gonna host all forever, if the Bucks win, I'm never showing up to a podcast.
if they win the championship, yeah, I agree.
Win the championship, I think Raul's days are the podcast are over. Let's finish up. You wanted to try the new.
Let's ask some questions.
Just a couple. True or false. Just a couple. We're not going to do final thoughts tonight, guys. We're going to do a new segment called True or False.
Truth or Dare or
new
True or
segment.
False?
Yeah,
true or False or Dare? How
true
about
or
that?
False or Dare? So True or False? Who's got a question? Anyone want to start? Anyone got something?
We're talking about what's going on in the finals.
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen in the finals. What team did you like the most that never won a championship? Got to the finals, but didn't win, Utah with Stockton or whoever you want to throw in there.
False.
Dare.
All right, that's a good question. Best team, favorite team to not win a championship.
True. It wasn't true or false.
It wasn't, no.
Can I take Dare?
You can take Dare. All right. Well, go ahead, man. Go ahead. I got one for you.
What you got?
I got a team.
Go ahead, John.
I would have liked to see the Phoenix Suns with Charles Barkley win one.
Ooh. Yeah,
they were a very, very good team.
They were real tough in those 90s, man. Yep.
Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
Dan Marley. Dan Marley was so tan.
Oh my God, he was. Super tan. Tan Marley.
Yeah, that's a good one. I am stealing Raul's team, the Thunder, man. I loved the Thunder when they were coming out. Yeah. Not as much as this guy, but I really liked their potential, especially when they went up against the Heat, and I thought they were going to beat them, and then they lost, and I was like, man, this team's going to be so loaded for so many years, and then, sorry, Raul. So I'm gonna say that 2011 Thunder team.
I would say the Sacramento... Kings.
Sacramento was a fun Kings. Team,
but they didn't make the
they,
finals.
They didn't make the finals, though. So that's kind of.
I think we should take that out as a criteria because there's so many
best team to not win it.
Best team to not win it, regardless.
Yeah, I would pick that team regardless. I thought they were good enough to make the finals.
I'm gonna go 2000 Portland then.
Oh, that's the team. That's the Jailblazers. Pip,
Rasheed.
No, that was before Jailblazers. Well, I guess they're kind of Jailblazers.
They were.
Brian Grant.
Zach Randall was a rookie.
Who?
Zach Randall.
Yeah, he was. You're right.
Jermaine O'Neal was on that team.
Jermaine O'Neal was like a scrub on that team.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
Crazy. Wow.
No, they had so much talent, and they didn't make it to the finals because the Lakers came back during that Game 7.
Yeah, it was Game 7 in Los Angeles. Yeah. Down by like 15 or something like that, and they came back at 1. That's crazy.
I remember watching that game. That was a crazy game, and that alley-oop, that iconic alley-oop from Kobe to O'Neal.
Yep.
That's when it happened.
Yeah, that's a good question,
B. Bonzi Wells.
Wow. That's the name. Marlo, you got one?
True or false?
All right.
Lauri Markkanen is not a number one option.
True. Zach Levine.
Shut up.
We're getting a show.
That's a tough one.
I am sticking with it, though. I don't think Lauri's the number one option right now.
Yeah.
No. Not right now.
Yeah.
Will be.
In general, will be.
Oh, shit.
Ooh. No shit, he's not right now.
Yeah, well, I was considering, like, the Bulls going forward. I do think it's Levine's team going forward, but maybe at the end of Levine's contract, yeah. I could see Lauri being a number one option. Man. I'll say that much.
I'm going to say false. Yeah. I don't see him ever emerging as a number one option on a contending team. Or rather, like a championship caliber team. I can see him being a number one option if they're like a 5 seed at best, you know? And if that's what happens, they're going to blow it up before it ever gets to that.
I see his career trajectory going the same way as Kevin Love. He's on a garbage team for a while, moves to a better team, and then becomes another number two option, number three option.
Okay. I can see it. John?
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, man, I don't want to even answer this question. It's so tough. So tough. I just want him to get healthy first, then I'll make that evaluation.
Yeah.
But for now, no.
I just want to say one of the teams that I didn't get to say earlier that never made it, 2019 Milwaukee Bucks. One of my favorite teams to never make it.
What a chick. What a dick.
I see what I you hope did
so,
there.
B. I hope so.
What do you think about Markkanen, Raul?
Man, I don't even know the answer to my own
question. He doesn't know. Oh, gosh.
He could be like Kevin Love.
It's so similar.
He could be like Kevin Love. He could be the number one option in the sense you might be 500.
You might be an 8 seed.
You might be a 500 team, and you might be the number one option for that team, but essentially, does it mean anything? No.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Thank lottery, you baby. Let's do it.
Thanks for joining.
Listening. Let's do live. It.
Yep. Lottery let's tomorrow.
Let's go Bulls.
Remember, you can find us on Instagram, iTunes, Google Play, Facebook.
Hold on. One last thing. Prediction for tomorrow. Where do the Bulls end up? Eddie first.
Three.
John.
Second.
Sixth.
Sixth.
We're going to get screwed, but four.
All right. Where can we also find Contest Layup for all? First.
On YouTube by searching Contessa Layups episodes or full episodes.
Not anything more than that, though.
just for full episodes.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you have a great week.
It's like that OK commercial.
Go Sox.
Yeah, go Sox.